Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly, our guest this morning. Matt, good morning. Good to have you. Good to have you here.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
You're up for election. You're unopposed to one of the at large seats. But I know that you've continued to go around town in various parts of town and door to door knocking and things like that. And just I guess in some way, in the main way, just to hear what people's thoughts are.
Well, I'm not going to be able to get to the whole city this time around. I've got a lot of things going on. Being an insurance adjuster right now after a major windstorm, I'll be hitting out of here and going right down to Richmond. But no, I take it as an opportunity to kind of go back and talk to, frankly, some of the neighborhoods where my votes affected them, to get some sense of where they are. Also to other areas of the city where we know we have issues developing. Went around Amelia Street and Winchester Street with regards to Sedona House and the mm-hmm. issues of parking that are there, and I guess they have a big issue about the employees parking along Amelia Street and into Winchester Street and most of the day, so that eliminates parking. And we do need to do a better job, in that area and dealing with that little problem beyond saying, isn't it great we have a parking problem, which some of my colleagues love to comment on all the time. But no, it's a good opportunity to get a sense of the community if we're going in the right direction. Again, I like to go to areas where I've cast votes that they might not have necessarily been thrilled with. Get the feedback on that. And it's been interesting. I think most people seem to be relatively happy with the direction of the city and where we're going. Parking is an issue. Development is an issue. I really had wished that we had had a contested elections at all level. I think it's important to have differing views out there to debate and discuss and engage the community a lot more than what we're having right now.
You and Councilwoman Devine running unopposed at large. There is a race for mayor, but that's the mayor's race. That's it this election cycle in the city.
That is it for the election cycle. And I don't know at this point. We have at least two debates scheduled already for the mayor's.
Yeah,
and I'll be interested to see what, if any, differences there are. I mean, I know there's differences in style and how they approach things, but on views of preservation, economic development, those are things people need to really focus in on.
I guess what's interesting is, and we've talked about this for years now, just about, people being connected to city government, because you don't see it as much at city council meetings anymore, unless there's a real big issue. And you kind of see that with the seats up for election, because it used to be you'd have three or four people running for every seat, every election, and we rarely see that.
Well, the interesting thing about the city right now in demographics is, yes, we're growing, but the people that are coming in are much more transient today than they were 10 or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to a number of houses, even when I was collecting signatures, I went to some of the newer neighborhoods just to kind of, again, gauge, how engaged they were or how important city stuff was to them. And a number of people just said, hey, look, I'm going to be here for 2 years. I'm still registered in my home state, have no plans on changing. So don't worry about it. And we're much more transient. And, and I've said this before, when I first got on council back in 2002, and that was a knockdown drag out. Everybody was screaming, yelling, jumping up and down about everything. And I really kind of look back with fond memories on those days as opposed to now, where it's really hard to get people to focus in on what's going on in the city.
Oh, it's just so quiet. And it used to be.
And there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to get into some of that. This whole Liberty Place situation is going to be a big issue.
It will be a big issue. You've got Liberty Place. You've got one Hanover. We still have I can't talk about too much about it. We still have the suit on the George Street properties. Yeah. The budget, is up for discussion. So there's a lot of, we're about to hire a new city manager. Where's that going to take the city? But no, you're right. It's been relatively quiet. And on transportation, of course, that's still going down the
Yeah. The whole parking issue that we just talked a second about, because I have found that, it's always has been hard in recent years, but lately it really is hard. If you go downtown, last Friday night, I had a difficult time finding a place, and increasingly that seems to be the case. Does anything, I know this is something that's being talked about, what's the next step for parking?
Boy, we're talking about it. We can't stop talking about it. The problem is we can't do anything. If you really go back, when we built the first parking garage, and that's been almost a decade ago, probably over a decade ago, we already had a plan in place. We knew exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted to basically build three smaller parking decks kind of surrounding the historic downtown area. Yet we can't implement. And instead, in fact, we've lost parking over the last few years with some of the new development downtown. With the money we're spending on little pockets of parking that we're doing leasing, you know, we bought the bank lot. Across the street from the museum, the bank building museum.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, that was public that was parking that was after hours public parking. It always been, and we lost it when the bank closed down and they blocked it off. A prime piece of real estate that we could have cut a deal on with whoever the new owners were. Instead, no, we go ahead and buy it, subdivide it. So we've now downgraded the value of the property and are going to build a public parking lot to replace parking that we already had to the tune of over $1 million. You look at Liberty Place. We're investing $1.94 million for, quote, getting parking there, where they want $2 million more over the next 10 years. You looked at our leasing plan for Princess Anne. If you take all that money that we're putting on these little pockets of questionable parking, we could have built a parking deck by now. And that's what's really getting frustrating, is we're not staying focused on what the plan is, and we're telling everybody, oh, we're taking care of the parking problem, when we're not.
And boy, another parking deck sure is needed at this point.
It really is. And another aspect of it is we'll probably have to bite the bullet and say, when we build these parking decks, they will be free and open to the public and not charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that way we'll overcome some of the problems, because while you say that you have a difficult time parking, my guess is I can tell you that the leased spaces we have over behind the Princess Anne building, where you can put your credit cards up, it's not being used very much.
Yeah.
Because I think people are just kind of like, you know, I know there's a parking space here where I don't have to pay anything, so I'm going to find it.
That's me.
And so, you know, the leasing and everything else like that does not seem to be working all that well. And I think we just need to basically provide parking at no cost.
And as popular as Sedona House has been, I know that that's been, because I hear people who go there and talk about, I had to park, you know, farther away to get there. And you mentioned that with employees parking and everything. And that was kind of predicted. I remember you and Billy Withers being in here talking about that.
You drive by any evening or early afternoon and you go by Liberty Town.
Yeah.
To go look at the art, you're thinking, oh my God, they're got to be crawling with people. No, there's two people in there. They're all over. And in fact, it goes into the neighborhood farther back.
Yeah.
And you've also got to wonder, when you've got a situation where we approved a restaurant with basically no parking, what effect it's having on the other businesses and restaurants that are a block or two away, when all the parking's being taken up for, you know, going to Sedona House, or, you know, the other big one is Castiglia's. So you wonder what's going on with Kaibeka. You wonder what's going on with downtown Deutschland and some of the other restaurants in that area.
Matt Kelly here, Fredericksburg City Councilman. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. You mentioned the city manager. I know that Beth Cameron is retiring, and well, I guess July 1st will be retiring, and City Council has been conducting interviews. Anything you can report on the new city manager?
I could report that we are down to a single candidate and are currently on, I guess, discussing the contract. So I think the plan is to announce something at our meeting on the 12th of April.
Okay. Wow. So that is big news. So stand by by for that. That's because you.
Come on down to the meeting on April 12th and get the big news, and maybe come back and comment on some things that we're actually dealing with.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
You walk into to City Hall, or you turn on TV, and in all too often they are empty benches there for most meetings. One of the things coming up, and I guess you're going to have a public hearing next Tuesday on Liberty Place. Liberty Place is over on Amelia Street.
Correct.
And discuss what's going on, because I had thought this was all settled and done and everything was moving forward, and apparently not.
Because it's a mixed-use development, which means their general development plan, GDP, is basically proffered with the project. This is what it's going to look like. And what was shown to us when the council passed it, and I did vote against it, is completely different from what they're now proposing to build. Originally, it was basically two separate buildings, kind of with the upper levels set back, a lot of breakups, a lot of glass.
Yeah.
Now it's a big monolithic, big brown brick building. So that is a significant enough change where it would have to go back through the process.
I was going to ask you, so it's got to go back to the
Back, it's going back to the Planning Commission on the day after our council meeting on the 13th.
Well, wait a minute.
I know. Let me get to that.
Okay.
I'm getting there. We'll get there. I hope this is a long segment. So that will go to the Planning Commission on the 13th, and I talked to staff about this, it probably will not get back to council because of meeting requirements and advertising and such, probably until May. And we would have to approve the new, whatever new plan, you know, they have put forward. But now, jumping back to next Tuesday, the developer has asked for an additional $2 million, which he wants to do through what's called a TIF district, tax increment financing. In its simplified form, it's this. You have your baseline real estate value as of today.
Mm-hmm.
Then you figure what the baseline, what the value will be at the end of construction, and you've got this difference between the two. You take the difference out, and that's your tax increment portion of it, and you use those funds for other projects. Normally, TIFs are used for financing infrastructure that supports the project, but a lot of times you'll see a lot of riverfront parks and trails and other community amenities financed this way. What we're going to end up doing is taking that, a large portion of that TIF, and giving it back to the developer, because he can't get his financing lined up for the project, and he needs that, one, to help his financing, and two, incentivize some of the tenants, because the cost of the building now, I guess, is such that the rents are way too high. So he gets to decide to use taxpayers' dollars to decide who gets incentives in his project.
I was just going to say, we're talking about trails and parks are a lot different than what you're talking about.
Yeah, we're
about
just basically
using,
rolling this money right back in to the project.
Does this set a bad precedent?
Let me say this. I think there is a good use for incentives. I think there's uses for TIF districts. And I think, and I believe, it's very important when we use them, we have a very good explanation to the community to justify it. Because a lot of people don't like the fact that, why are you giving that business money and not this business money? And I understand an argument. So it's very important for us to say, well, if I give the money to this business, it is such unique business, and it's going to bring a lot of, you know, secondary growth in business development. It's regionally based, so therefore a lot of people come out of the area. So we'll get a lot of revenue out of it, so I don't have to raise your taxes. You know, you've got to be able to make that case for the project. All we're dealing with in Liberty Place is one big, large building that has a large real estate price tag to it. And if you look at mixed-use developments in the city, we've got two others we've already approved. We've approved Telegraph Hill, mm-hmm. which is up on Lafayette Boulevard. Did they get any incentives? No. In fact, they're paying for all the road improvements from the bottom of Lafayette Boulevard and Blue Gray Parkway all the way up to the top of the hill, including a roundabout, two lanes, moving lanes, and everything else. They've also proffered to reduce density, height issues, sightline issues for the park. Ed Whalen didn't ask for any, and he's doing underground parking. So why is this mixed-use development project so much different and better than the other two? I don't think you can make that argument. And then the fact is, we're having a public hearing and deciding on a TIF district when the whole issue of the project itself will not be decided until May. So actually what we should do is put off any action on the TIF district until we come back and agree on the building.
Yeah.
And then talk about the TIF district. So I am fully planning to make a motion that we just stop the public hearing and not proceed until after it goes through the Planning Commission and back to council. And my guess is that's not going to happen. And I think that's unfortunate because I think it sends the wrong message to the public of if we're going to sit here and consider a TIF district before we approve the project, there's something seriously wrong with what's going on.
Now, it's especially since it goes into the Planning Commission the next night.
Right. And the other aspect of it is, and this is a critical aspect of it, we're investing $1.94 million into it because we're going to get use of the parking. Now the project has three restaurants going in it. So after hours and everything else like that, how much parking do you think is really going to be there when you have three restaurants opening in there, plus the condos and everything else?
None.
There's not going to be a lot of public parking left over. But more importantly than that, which people need to understand, is it was a mixed-use project which required council approval. Council could have said at the very beginning, as subject, we will approve the project subject to you proffering the parking in the structure after hours to the public. In which case, guess how much we had to pay? Nothing.
Yeah.
So we're paying $1.94 million for parking that we probably won't see for the public. And it's going to be charged parking. We're going to have to charge for it. Which means, again, we're running into this issue because I've heard some people say, well, now we'll find a place for employees to park. How many employees are going to park where they're going to have to pay? And then, you know, with what they're making in the restaurant industry, that's not going to happen. This gets back to we're just diffusing our efforts for questionable gains, where if we just took all that money that we're throwing around right now and put it together, we could have had a parking deck already done, which is close to 400 or 400 plus spaces that would have been open to the public, and we controlled them. Now it's just kind of this amorphous, we'll do a little here, and a tiny bit here, and a tiny bit there. And we're really not getting a good return on the investment.
What happened to where the building design changed so much?
That is the question you'd have to ask the developer. My guess, and this is a guess, I don't want to make that clear, is looking at the long-term cost of building this, especially with three levels of underground parking, and if you figure on average, the cost of an underground parking space is $50,000 a space, it gets pretty pricey, and you've got to be able to make up that money somewhere. I mean, we had a little bit of this discussion with Ed Whalen when we talked about his downsizing his project. How far could it go down before he'd have to take the underground parking out because it just became too costly to do it?
Yeah, his was over on Princess Anne
right,
Street.
Correct.
And all that. And that's now moving forward as the smaller version. Is that correct?
Yes. That's been approved by the council.
Yeah. Back to this with Liberty Place. This brings up again, though, something that we have talked about. You've brought up some stuff and have discussed this, and you've discussed this on Facebook too. But a lot of this information hasn't been out there, and I think a lot of people maybe Wednesday morning wake up and find out some decisions have been made and wonder, I didn't even know anything about this.
Now, it's been very difficult to get the specifics out and the understanding of all the dynamics involved in it. Don't want to dump on our local paper, but I'm going to dump on our local paper. Other than doing story, the last story they did on the project was the public meeting they had there. And I talked to some of the people afterwards, and frankly, did not get a very good warm response from the public. But, you almost wanted to send a question to the Freelance Star and saying, did he pay for this advertisement? Or
because all the stuff you've discussed.
Nothing was in there about what are the issues, what are the problems, what are the – and the editorial they just did, all they said was, sometimes we need to use incentives and stuff like that, and you all need to pay attention. Well, pay attention. Shouldn't the paper be the one that's saying – and I talked to the editorial editor and saying, listen, I know you guys might want to come out in favor of this. That's fine. Put out why you think it's good, but acknowledge what the issues are so the public is informed. So when they come to these public hearings, they know what's going on. Right now, there is not enough information out there coming out from the press that would provide the public enough to really comment on this project coming up on our following Tuesday.
Because I think if some of the things you've talked about, if a lot of people knew that, you would get some.
I think you would get some people at least questioning and
why?
And concerns about the project. But nothing has, again, we have this project. We're looking at incentives. We're going to potentially get some parking out of the deal. You know, we'll get some real estate money out of the deal, real estate tax out of the deal, and they'll set up some neat businesses. But that's not the story. Story is the project has significantly changed. The story is, are we really getting any benefit with regards to the parking that we're promised? What are we getting for the extra $2 million? Other than helping him finance it, what's in it for the city? None of this has been covered at all.
Well, and the whole thing, and a lot of, anytime you're dealing with acronyms and things like TIFs.
That's why I get, that's when I say TIFs, I've got to say tax increment financing, GDP, generalized development plan.
Yeah, because you start talking about that and you lose so many people that you don't understand it. But as you've described it well this morning, it's a big difference and a big change from what is usually done with those kind of things.
Right. Again, we could have had, we didn't have to invest in the project at all if we didn't want to. And could have still potentially gotten the parking. Now, the developer could have said, well, if you don't invest, then I can't build the project, which is basically it. I mean, the question needs to be asked. If you don't get this money from the city, can the project move forward? That's a legitimate question and one that should be asked. Hasn't been asked yet. And then we can have that discussion. Do we as a community want to invest into projects like this where... And I know a lot of people say baseball. Well, you want to do it with baseball. You know what? A little bit, quite a bit of a different project because usually stadiums the locality owns and is able to use. And you can actually, we've done enough studies to show that financially it would be a good investment and a good return. We don't have anything to show us that this is a great project that's going to be go gangbusters other than, wow, we're going to get a lot of real estate tax dollars. You know, okay.
So this will come out before City Council.
And all we're supposed to be talking about on the 12th is setting up a TIF district. We're not supposed to be talking about the project,
right?
Which makes absolutely no sense.
How can you do that without talking about the project? The two are intertwined.
Well, I think there'll be some comment about, oh, by the way, this is being totally redone. It has to go to the Planning Commission starting tomorrow, and you're not going to get it to May, but we want to. And the bottom line is we'll be pushed into it because, you know, I've got to get my financing. So you need to do this concurrently and not in a normal fashion. And I just think that this thing has changed so much from what was originally proposed that it needs to come back and be discussed as a project before we talk about sinking any more money into it.
And can the Planning Commission in just a month be able to deal with it? I guess that's...
They can. They can come back with a recommendation one way or the other.
Okay.
Or they can say, no, we want more information. I mean, that's up to the Planning Commission.
Okay. So Tuesday night, Liberty Place, it's on the agenda. It's on the project on Amelia Street. And look into it if you need more information. Matt Kelly here, Fredericksburg City Councilman. We will continue along this morning. We'll talk about some other projects in the city and the city budget when we come back. On a Town Talk and News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Matt, we got a response. You're in talking about Liberty Place in the last segment. Someone from the Freelance Star sent through Facebook a message that said that you are welcome to write an op-ed piece for publication in the Freelance Star about the Liberty Place project and the issues surrounding it. They need it soon.
Oh, I would not doubt. And I probably should, and I have written, 20-plus editorials, op-eds, whatever you want to call them over the years. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not my job necessarily. It's the press's job and the paper's job to report the issues, to cover the differing views on the issues so that the public is informed. You know, that's their job. And I will write an op-ed, but frankly, it's not my job by itself to inform the public. I mean, what is the purpose of the Freelance Star? Supposed to be informing the public on issues that so when we have public hearings and stuff, they can. I do not know why they're adverse to saying there's two issues to this particular situation with Liberty Place. Here's what one side is saying. Here's what the other side is saying. And that has yet to happen on Liberty Place. I mean, we have a project that has materially changed, and as far as I'm aware, there have not even been any photographs showing what was originally proposed and what it is now. You would think just putting those two pictures together would be a big step forward. And again, I do comment a lot on Fredericksburg Forum, which is my Facebook page, Fredericksburg and Forum, on any and all issues that are facing the city. So if you're really interested in what's going on and really want to find out at least one side of the story, and I'm making that clear, my vision of what is going on or my views on an issue, and I fully expect and would encourage people, if they don't agree with me and they look at something, write back and say, I disagree with you, and this is why I disagree with you.
You often have a lot of debate on things, and that's what I said to you. That's where I learned a lot about Liberty Place just a couple of weeks ago when you first started posting some things.
And I think it's important that, you know, I will give my perspective to the paper, what it is. But they really need to be the one to saying, here is the issue. Here are the differing views on the issue, bum, 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 bum. And not just print one op-ed on what I say, and then in a week or so, somebody writes one and responds to it. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. What they're supposed to be doing is covering the issues, talking to people, and asking questions. Don't let us get away with just saying, well, I'm for this. Why are you for it? And then if you give an answer, well, is that really, well, they're saying this. How do you respond to that? There's no follow-up. All you basically read in this paper is quotes, whatever I say at the council meeting. Nobody comes up and talks to us after the meeting or says anything to us. No follow-up, no nothing. And that's the biggest problem we've got right now, is a lot is going on and the community is not being properly informed. And I do. I try to do it every week. The last 2 weeks, the storms and stuff, it's been difficult to post something on my Facebook page about what's going on in the city. And I do. I'm up to 200 and some odd people that are really paying attention. And I encourage people to go on there and chime in, whether you like what I'm saying or not.
Look it up. Fredericksburg Forum is Councilman Matt Kelly's page where you talk about just all kinds of
city-related stuff.
City issues. Speaking of development and things, what's going on with One Hanover?
One Hanover is back.
Because I thought there's another case. I mean, I thought Liberty Place was set and we'd be seeing ground broken and everything moving forward. I thought One Hanover, because of its size and there were issues, that had gone away.
That had been approved.
That had been approved, right.
That had been approved by the council, but they couldn't do the pre-sales and
yes. It
collapsed. What's basically happened, getting back, and I'll try not to use acronyms, there are two aspects of it. So there's the zoning aspect of it, which the city approved. Those approvals go with the land. So in a new project, basically, can build up to 56 feet and can do, I think we changed the floor area ratio, much bigger building, less offsets, things of that nature, building in a floodplain. So that all goes with the land. But they also had to get a certificate of appropriateness from the ARB to demolish the existing buildings. The COA, as it's referred to, only lasts for a year, and then it goes away.
Okay. One Hanover was approved several years ago.
Yes. So that time has elapsed. So they're having to – what Tommy Mitchell, the owner, is trying to do is get everything put back in place, and then he's going to flip the land to another developer to build a project. So they have to go back to the ARB to get approval for demolition. And I was at the meeting. The ARB discussed this. They balked at the project, and to Tommy Mitchell's credit, he said, listen, okay, I'm not going to ask for a decision. Let's step back. Let's sit down. Let's talk about this project. And on April 11th, the ARB is going to have a meeting, and they're going to talk about their concerns, scale and massing, look, or what other issues. I mean, Tommy was very specific, and I agree with him. He says, if you're going to have issues with my project, you need to come into this meeting and have all your ducks in a row and be specific about what your concerns are. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've got to give Mr. Mitchell credit for stepping back and having that project re-reviewed. But again, once it gets its COA or Certificate of Appropriateness for demolition, there's not much the council will be able to do after that because they've already approved most everything else with the land,
okay.
Again, the zoning. So.
Okay. So if they get that, then this could then move forward.
It'll move forward. I mean, there might be some things that have to come back, depending on what changes are made, to come back to the council. Again, similar to Liberty Place, you know, if it's significant changes, then it's got to come back to the council. But if not, there's not a lot we can do.
I'm trying to remember. You opposed One Hanover, I think, didn't you?
Yes. And can I touch on that really quickly? Because yeah. We're talking about Matt Kelly opposes. We have 10.4 square miles, and we have areas that we could put big buildings in. We have Celebrate Virginia. We're going to redevelop Central Park. We've still got the Idlewild track. We've got the track along 95 that we haven't developed yet. We have places for big development. And I've told most of the development community that, you know, I draw a line. Here's 95. Anything to the west of 95, knock yourselves out. I mean, we've already lost the war on development on the other side of 95 years ago. And that's the place where we can put bigger and badder things. I want to say badder in the sense of being bad, but just, you know, the big stuff.
Yeah.
But on the other side of 95, we're talking about a sense of character and place that the city of Fredericksburg has that needs to be protected. And I get very defensive on development because I'm afraid that while the majority seems to be grabbing for, oh, wow, there's some extra $300,000 and $400,000 of tax dollars I can spend. Yeah, but if you keep doing that, and that's what some of the concerns people have. We've done the courthouse, mm-hmm. you know, hotels, parking lot, parking decks, and these. We're just approving big, huge projects downtown. And is that really in the long-term benefit for the city in the sense of maintaining that kind of historic downtown charm that we have? You know, you reach a point where you have too many people down there, and what's the point in coming? And it also gets into the issue of like Sedona House. Sedona House, if you'd put Sedona House at Eagle Village, where it had great access, Jeff Davis Highway, had more than enough parking, that thing would go gangbusters there.
Mm-hmm.
So yet we keep trying to cram all this stuff into a downtown that really doesn't have the infrastructure, parking, and roadways to support a lot of intensive development. I mean, we're going to have some. But we've got to be very careful when it comes to downtown development. So,
well, and when you're driving on William Street and you come upon it, it's a nice looking building, but it seems too new for downtown Fredericksburg. Is that look?
Oh, the Sedona House?
Yeah.
Sedona House to me looks totally out of place. It belongs. And here's the thing. When I went to VML school and everything else back in 2002, one of the things they told us at that time is if a business decides to come to your community, they've already done the math. They know they want to be there.
Yeah.
And most will make accommodations to fit in. We don't do that. We just say, oh my God, they're going to bring $2 million of revenue and therefore, or $2 million of sales. So therefore, we got to give them anything they want. No, you don't have to do that. And the fact of the matter is, so they do $2 million of business. Guess what an average McDonald's does, or an average Chipotle, or an average Panera Bread? They do more than that.
Yeah.
And so you need to also look at the perspective of what it is. And we don't do that. We're just so gung-ho about, oh my God, this is going to be $300,000 more on taxes and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, you'll get $300,000 now, but what happens 15 or 20 years ago from 20 years from now when we've totally built out, we've got all these big, huge buildings crammed into our downtown, nobody can move and nobody wants to come anymore.
With places like Liberty Place and One Hanover and some of the developments, how are the schools doing as far as space? Is there any concern that
we are looking at potentially a new elementary school at some point in the next 5 to 10 years. We are right now. One of the things we're doing is, of course, with the original Walker Grant renovations, what that is going to do is help out in two ways. One, school administration will finally be in one place. Mm-hmm. And two, a lot of classroom space will be opened up in all the schools as all that administration is shifted out and moved out. But I think the Weldon Cooper puts us at about 36 to 39,000 to build out. And a lot of people just say, stop approving housing developments. Oh, this is a great Commonwealth of Virginia. You know, you can't just say no.
Yeah.
You've got to be a little bit more realistic than that. There will be additional residential. It's not going to be single family. You know, the single family market has pretty much, you know, our children, and both of us now have children that are not children anymore, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, they looked at what happened to us with the housing market, and the millennials basically... To them, a house is a place to put my head down for the night and so I can go out next morning and go do things.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure I have money to do things. So they're not interested in, at this point in their lives, in houses. And frankly, a lot of us older people that are getting there kind of going, I'm tired of mowing the lawn and everything else like that. I want to move to something smaller. So you have the younger and the older suddenly wanting to go, you know what, the house, the lawn, the traditional American dream is kind of going away.
Yeah.
and they're moving on. And we need to understand that dynamic. The banks do, because that's the only people that are getting financing right now are townhomes, condos, and apartments, not single-family homes.
Speaking of projects, as you mentioned this a little bit earlier, the project that's going in on Lafayette Boulevard, is that going to start happening soon, and some of that road work going to start happening soon?
I was actually, you know, you mentioned that you don't always get informed of everything that's going on when it's going on. I can say it's sad to say, but as a city councilman, I can relate. But I would think within the next year or so, because I think they were meeting on the final plans for everything on that project, and that's when I, you know, started with on the roundabout and everything else like that. But I think everything's been done; the designs are pretty much in place. VDOT's had a chance to look at them, so. I think it's just basically a matter of timing and money.
I hear so much talk about that roundabout, and I always go back and I quote you of saying it's not going to be like the roundabout that you see at the town center.
Well, again, and what everybody says, you know, all the accidents are going to occur on it because the traffic's going to have to slow down to go into it and be confused. And yeah, there will be that factor in there, but the only other option is put a traffic light halfway down that hill. So now try to stop a 16-wheeler at a traffic light going down that hill.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about it. But traffic circles have been shown to be much safer than signalized intersections. And frankly, signalized intersections do one other thing that we don't think about, and that's stops traffic and causes the backups to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
You want traffic to keep moving at all possible.
And you've pointed out here before, too, that the grade on that hill is going to change a bit.
Yeah, the grade will change at the roundabout, yes.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We'll wrap it up when we come back on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll talk about the budget when we come back. We will be right back.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Fredericksburg Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning with the budget going on. Is it next Tuesday night? Is that the budget public hearing? Or is that, but I guess that comes a little bit later in
later,
April.
But now we are into the budget cycle. We had the budget presented to us, and I right now the budget that was presented by the city manager has no tax increase in it. We stayed where we are. There was a lot of discussion on this and agreement, and I agree too, by the way, that we should advertise higher rate, because I think it's something that the community should understand. This is what we're going to spend money on. This is, we don't do a great job of explaining what we were what we need. We just say, here's the budget. And I keep going to staff saying, I want to know what my departments wanted that they didn't get, so I can say, we're not doing this, 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 and this. So I think you need that little bit of a wiggle room in there to say, hey, this is what the budget is. This is what we're going to put money into. This is what we're not putting money into. The big one, of course, is we're not fully funding the schools this time around. And let the community come in and say, well, you know, wait a minute, I think you should do this, or I agree with what you want to do. If we were to come right in and say, you know what, this is it, this is what the tax rate's going to be, it's this, it funds this budget, you're basically telling the public, don't bother coming and talking to us about anything. We've already decided what it is. I mean, yes, you can move a little bit of money around in the budget, but not a lot. So I think it's imperative to keep that in there to basically encourage the public to hopefully better understand the budget and make it clear what their priorities are, not just ours.
And that's a discussion every year. And it was a big one in Spotsylvania this year. They actually, usually they'll set the advertised rate so low that there really is no incentive for anyone to come in and discuss.
Well,
anything.
It was a big discussion with us, which didn't get reported in the news. Sorry, Jim. About whether or not to do that or not. And I think it was a 4-3 split on whether or not we should advertise a higher tax rate. Again, do I think we will raise the tax? No, because again, if everybody was totally informed, yes, real estate tax for residential is going to go up. The problem is the smaller homes are going to go up more than the bigger homes, because right now there's more demand for those, and therefore most of our fixed income families would be the ones caught in the crosshairs. We've got to take that in consideration. Commercial tax is going to drop. We know it's going to drop. We just don't know about how much. Mm-hmm. So you need to look at those and how that's going to impact and who's getting impacted by any potential increases. Because even if you leave it the same way with values going up, they're going to pay more. And are these, you know, are we basically taxing a segment of our community that really can't afford it? And we need, and that's a legitimate, and basically Billy Withers, the vice mayor, has pounded on that. And that he was one of the ones that says, no, 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 we've got to advertise the current rate and just leave it here because I see us negatively impacting some people that really can't afford it. Good point. And that should be part of the public discussion.
As you've gone around in just campaigning, have any issues come up? Or has there been anything you've been surprised at that people have wanted to talk about?
No, not really, because then most people say, hey, I'm kind of happy with the way things are.
Okay.
Really like the trails, think the trails are great. And, you know, as long as we can keep the state pouring in money for trails, we're in good shape in that regard. Most of that is coming from, not from necessarily from city funds, but from outside funding, from transportation.
We've only got a minute left, so we can't get into this, but what's up next with the whole tree discussion? Is that going to come before council at some point?
The tree discussion will come to council at some point. The tree task force is now established. They had their first meeting, I think, a week or two ago. They're having another meeting next. I think they're having another meeting tonight, actually. And they will be giving us a recommendation sometime in the summer. The only request I made was don't bring us a plan. Bring us, if it's a plan,
yeah.
Give us a majority-minority view so we at least have something to look at and make a decision based on. Not a big fan of, which we do a lot of, which is here's our proposal, take it or leave it. I kind of like options. And so hopefully we'll get some.
City Councilman Matt Kelly. Well, Matt, it's always entertaining, always informative. Thank you. Thank you for coming in. Again, you're on the ballot. You're unopposed as for the at-large seat. You and Councilwoman Carrie Devine. And also there is the city mayor's race that
May 3rd is election day.
May 3rd is election day. We will talk to you perhaps right around there, right after the election. Thanks, Matt Kelly.
Okay, thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFEA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.